I want to get you tonight to turn in your Bibles to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. Paul's argument throughout the whole book of Galatians is that we, or for those that are Christians, he talks about the idea of remaining in the faith. There are those that apparently, the Judaizers that have come behind him and are trying to corrupt what he has been teaching, are trying to get others to turn back to a works-based system where he is talking about faith. He talks about you began by faith, stay in it. In chapter 5, he contrasts two things. He contrasts the flesh and the spirit. And what you will notice as you go through chapter 5, and I'm going to drop down to verse 16, and give me a moment, if you would, to read through that, beginning in verse 16 and going through the end of the chapter, and then I want to come back and just touch on what he's doing and then where we're going with our lesson tonight. But in verse 16, here's what he says. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are these: immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Now, in these verses that I've just shared to you, what Paul has done is he has demonstrated how, first of all, the works of the Spirit, if you'll notice verses 16 and 17, how they oppose, or the works of the flesh, excuse me, how they oppose the works of the Spirit. And he also has pointed out in these verses 19 through 21, that these things, he says, those who practice these things will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So the works of the flesh oppose the Spirit, and those who practice the works of the flesh will not get to go and be with God eternally. But then in verses 16, part of verse 16, and then also in verse 18, and also in verses 22 and 23, what he deals with is walking by the Spirit. And he shows us that how if we walk by the Spirit, as he points out in verse 16, we will not carry out the lust or the desire of the flesh. He also says that if we walk by the Spirit, then we are going to produce certain fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And not only that, he tells us that if we walk by the Spirit, we also are not under condemnation of any law. First of all, in verse 18, he says, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And then in verse 23, the end of it, he says, against such things, there is no law, speaking about the fruit of the Spirit. Now, in summarizing this flesh and spirit controversy, what Paul does is he reminds us that those who belong to Christ have done certain things in their lives. And this is where we want to spend our time tonight. If you are a Christian, if you belong to Christ, then there are certain things that are happening or should have happened and are continuing to happen in your life. First off, he is telling us that you have crucified the flesh with its passion and with its desires, its lust. You put those things to death in your life. They are no longer a driving force, a controlling factor in your life or in my life. The second thing he is telling us is that we no longer live according to the flesh and its desires. Now, because we put those things to death in our lives, now we are living according to the Spirit Then he also says that we should walk according to that Spirit, according to the things that please God and honor Him. And he tells us what those things are in the very last verse. This is where I want us to spend our time this evening, and these are the things I want us to consider as we look at this book that Paul has written to the churches that I think he went to on his first missionary journey and then went back to on his second missionary journey, strengthening. But let's begin, first of all, with what he says. In verses 24 through 26 is primarily where we're going to spend our time. But he tells us that those of us who truly belong to Christ have done something. He says, we have crucified the flesh. Now, we touched on that this morning. But here, Paul tells us more. We've done it both in principle, but we've also done it in practice. In principle, if you go back to what Paul said earlier this morning to us in Romans chapter 6, there in verses 3 and 4, he tells us that those of us who are baptized into Christ have died with Christ. That is, that in our baptism, as we pointed out this morning, we died to that old life. And so now what happens is that Christ is living with us and in us. In Galatians chapter 2, earlier here in verse 20, he tells us that the life he is now living in the flesh, he says, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. So what is going on now is that we have died to the old way of life, the old sinful flesh, and now we are living this new life, walking in this newness of life, because we have crucified the flesh in principle through our baptism. But in practice, what we have done in reality is we have put off, as Paul would say to the church at Colossae, we have put off the old man and we have put on the new. Look with me for a moment at Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul uses this concept of old man, new man, and brings out what has happened for us and how all of us have changed our lives. Notice in verse 5, he says, therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. He says, for it is because of those things, or these things, that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. And do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. You see what he said? You laid aside, when you became a Christian, you laid aside the old self with all of the evil practices associated with that old self. And you have put on, verse 10, the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. He describes that. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is all and in all. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. When we crucified the flesh with its desires, we got rid of those old things, the old man. And now that you and I are walking as Christians, now that we're living according to the Spirit, as Paul would phrase it, there is a new character developing within us. There are these different things, the heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. All of this is what we now are living out in our lives. He also brings this concept out in his letter to the church at Ephesus. Because in Ephesians chapter 4, he tells us something similar to that. He says, you did not learn Christ in this way. Verse 20. But if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, here it is again, you lay aside your old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness and truth. So there it is in practice. Here's what we're doing. We've taken that old self with all of its fleshly desires and we've set it off. We've said, no more. That's not me any longer. This is the new me. This is what I long for. I live in humility. I practice gentleness. I have compassion for others. Love is a driving factor within my life, and it is evident to those who have come to know me. And so that's one of the things that he says happens when we begin to live according to the Spirit. But then he brings out something else here in our text before us tonight. Not only have we crucified the flesh with its passions and desires, if you'll notice verse 25, he says there that we live by the Spirit. In the beginning of your new life, when you first became a Christian, it is the Spirit who gives us life. In John chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus said there, as John records it for us, that it is the Spirit who gives life. He said that the flesh profits nothing. And then he says, the words that I've spoken to you are Spirit and are life. Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 8. He said to us that, speaking of what has been done, he said, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of letter, nay, speaking of what God has done through them. They are servants of a new covenant, but we are too. He says, not of a letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And so that's what happened. In the beginning of our faith, in the beginning of our Christian lives, we were given life by the Spirit. We rose to walk, as we noticed this morning, in newness of life. And so we have been saved. There is that washing of regeneration, and as you notice in Titus chapter 3 verse 5, and renewing or renewal of the Spirit. The Spirit renews us so that we are born again. Jesus said in John chapter 3 verse 5, we are born again of water and of the Spirit. All of this took place when you became a Christian. But now what are you doing now? See, that's the question. A lot of people go through the motions. They come and they say, I want to be baptized. I want to have my sins washed away. I want to become a child of God. And they go through all this and God does these things. But then the question is, what happens after that? Do we live that life? Do we go on practicing those things? Are we growing? Or do we revert back? Because in the present, as we are Christians, God intends for His Spirit to continue working upon us to bring about what God desires. Remember what Paul says, for it is God who is at work within you, both to will and to do according to His good pleasure, there in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. So by virtue of His indwelling, Paul brings this out in Romans 8, and in a couple more weeks we'll see this. But in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, he says that if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he says, He who raised Jesus, or Christ Jesus, from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. And then what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, he said, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you and whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? So this is what's going on now. God is working to give life to our mortal bodies because His Spirit is dwelling in us, and He empowers us to put to death the deeds of the flesh, the deeds of the body. I mentioned Romans chapter 8, verse 11, but verses 12 and 13 add to this thought. Because what he says there is, he says, brethren, we are no longer under obligation, or we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. And he says, if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, he says, you will live. Every day that you and I live, Paul says, we, through the power of the Holy Spirit, are to be putting to death those deeds of the body which are from our former corrupt nature. Because as I pointed out this morning, we are walking in newness of life. And that walk is a gradual, persistent growth as we are maturing and becoming more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this is what God is doing in us and through us, and what He desires to happen within us. But then the last thing that He brings out here, if you'll notice verse 26, He tells us yet again, He says, let us not become boastful. The King James uses the word conceited. Envy or challenging one another. King James uses the word provoking one another. And lastly, but not least, envying one another. If we're walking by the Spirit, if we are growing each day, if we are becoming more like our Lord and Savior, then these things are to be evident within us. That we are people who, as we walk by the Spirit, we're not boastful people. We don't go around wanting everybody to know who we are and what we have accomplished in life. And that type of life, that type of attitude is manifested by our selfish ambitions. When Paul wrote his letter to the church at Philippi, in chapter 2, Paul there says, do nothing, verse 1, Philippians 2, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. A lot of people in this world do things out of pure selfishness. It's about me and what I want and what I desire in life. They do it out of simple, empty conceit, conceit that has no real value to it. But Paul says, instead, with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. This past week, one of the things I asked of my staff at camp is I said, for one week, I want you to put these kids ahead of you. Make them more important than you this week. So my staff would let the kids always go before them at mealtime. All of our kids ate before the staff ate. And they tried to do for the kids so that the kids would learn what it means to develop a servant mind, to serve others, to be humble. And so this is what Paul says, that when we are not being conceited, then we are people who are treating others as more important than ourselves. We're not merely, as Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And he goes on to tell about what Christ did, leaving his home in glory and coming to this earth and dying for us. No, instead, what we do is we manifest this lowliness of mind. It leads to the gentleness and the meekness. You see, that's a part of that fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness, self-control. This is what we practice. So one of the questions we ask ourselves tonight is, am I walking in this way? Am I walking as an individual who puts others' interests above my own, who looks out for the needs of others beyond my own? But also, as you walk in the Spirit, as he says here, you're not only are you not boastful, you're not challenging others, you're not provoking others. You know, we have a phrase sometimes. We talk about people who have a chip on their shoulder. It's like they're just waiting for somebody to do something to provoke them because they want to provoke others. And they're always looking for somebody to aggravate, somebody to irritate, somebody to just kind of drive up the wall. You may be thinking, well, he's talking about one of my children. And sometimes our children do that. They find that one little thing about us that they know is our weak point, and they will work on it at times, because they know it aggravates us and it makes us angry. Brothers and sisters do this to each other. It's interesting to watch them and how they will find something that aggravates the other and they want to provoke the other. Well, that's not the way Christians are. We don't go around looking for things that challenge and provoke our brothers and our sisters in Christ. And yet, That's a part of what we find in these works of the flesh that Paul has already listed here in verses 19 through 20. He talks about the dissensions and the strife and the jealousy and the outburst of anger and the disputes and the factions. Folks, that's not to be us. We're not to be a people who are constantly looking for something that's wrong with those around us. Instead, we're to be looking for those things which are true, honorable, and of good repute, as Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 8. And here, when you think about the fruit of the Spirit, you have to consider that joy and peace and kindness, all of these things are things that do not look to provoke others. If anything, they look to build others up. And how can I encourage my brother or my sister in Christ? The last one that he brings out is that those of us who walk by the Spirit are not envying those around us. It's sad, but it seems like every day I live, I see people envying others, wanting what others have, willing to take it if necessary. My wife and I found out about a young couple that's looking to try to sell their place in Nashville because there have been two break-ins in condos right next to theirs, two different condos in their area. And so for their own safety's sake, they're looking to leave there. Why do people steal? I want what you have. And I'll take it if I need to by force. But as Christians, that's not us. No. What we manifest is love. We demonstrate how we can reach out and care for one another. In 1 Corinthians, and I touched on this 3 weeks ago when I preached on 1 Corinthians chapter 13, but if you'll remember there where Paul talks about the traits of love, beginning in verse 4 and going through verse 8. Remember what he said? He said, love is patient. Love is not jealous. Does not brag and is not arrogant. Love is not jealous. If somebody gets the promotion, you go up to them and say, I am so glad. You deserve it. Not, I should have gotten that. I've been here longer than he has or she has. I don't know why they overlooked me. No, you deserve it. I'm glad it came to you. I'll be praying that things go well on your behalf. You see, that's what it means to walk by the Spirit, folks. We're different people. We live differently from the world. We don't identify with the way the world responds to people because we respond differently. We didn't catch much news this past week up at camp because we didn't have TV, we didn't have internet, didn't have all of that that we're so used to back here at home. But you know, one of the things I did pick up on the radio before I left was this church in Charleston where the young man went in and killed 9 people on that Wednesday night. And what I found was that those people gathered together and they prayed for that young man. The church prayed for that young man. As a matter of fact, they reached out to that young man, trying to get him to change his life. Could we do that here? Would you do that? If someone were to walk in here and take my life and 8 of your lives, could the rest of you that are left come together and pray for the individual that did that deed? It's a tough question to think about, especially if the person that may have been killed was one of your loved ones. And yet, if we walk by the Spirit, and if we're putting to death the deeds of the flesh, our lives are so different from this world. The world won't even recognize us at times because we're living according to a different set of standards. Our value system is different. Our goals are different. Our desires are different. Everything about us is different. But yet, those who belong to Christ do that. People who belong to Christ are people who crucify the flesh. They live in the Spirit, not just from their baptism forward, not just at one moment in time. And they walk in the Spirit. So the question with us is this. Do we truly belong to Christ tonight? Do you truly belong to Christ in your life? It begins with baptism into Christ. Back in Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, what Paul says there is that all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Have you done that? Have you clothed yourself with Christ? And are you continuing with a life of faith? As I mentioned earlier, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, the life that I now live in the flesh, Paul said, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Are you living your life by faith in the Son of God every day that you live? And then finally, it produces a new person. In Galatians chapter 6, one chapter over, verse 15, here's what Paul says. He says, neither circumcision is anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. What about you? Are you a new creation? Have you been created in Christ Jesus for good works? Have you risen, as we pointed out this morning, to walk in newness of life? Ray has selected a song, and that song is to encourage us to become a part of this new life, to begin with baptism, to have our sins washed away, and to become a new creation in Christ Jesus, who God has created, or Christ has created for good works, and to live each day by faith. That's the call that is being issued in just a moment by this song. And then to walk according to the Spirit every day as God has directed us in His Word. If you need to respond to His invitation, won't you come right now as together we stand and sing.